But even in the Lord's church, you will hear Christians sometimes refer to Sunday as Sunday is our Sabbath. And we want to see what the Bible says about that. The book of Hebrews is one of the few books in the Bible that spent a lot of time comparing the Old Testament and the New Testament, or the Old Testament system with the New Testament. Many other books do that. Galatians does that, the book of Galatians. Romans do some of that. But there is no book that has gone into as much detail in comparing and discussing the two systems, the Old Testament system and the New Testament system. In one part of the Bible, some three chapters in the book of Hebrews, about three chapters, two and a half, three, is dedicated to discussing the priesthood of the Old Testament system as compared to the New Testament. And the time that we plan to spend on looking on whether or not Sunday is the Christian Sabbath, much of what we are going to look at comes from the book of Hebrews. First, let us get this clearly. When the Almighty God, the Bible tells us that when God finished his work of creation, he rested from his work. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 and 11, one of the great takeaway from that passage are those two verses, is that God is still resting. Yes, you heard me right. That God is still resting from, at least from that work, from his creative work. And the Almighty God is inviting believers to share in that rest. Could somebody read the where are the brothers that reads? And any of you brothers down there want to that is Hebrews chapter 4, read verse 6. And 11.
Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience.
Vivian. Okay, read again, same verse. You're at verse 6.
Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience.
May I? This is one of, for me, it's one of the great verses of the Bible. Not on the point that I have just stated, that the Bible is teaching, Hebrews, not only the two verses I mentioned, that God, having finished his work of creation, is still resting from that work. That's one of the great takeaway from the studying the book of Hebrews. But I want you to see something here. I didn't intend to probably look at this, but since it comes up, Brother Vivian, read again.
Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, mm-hmm. and those to whom...
Wait, it remains. That is, the rest that the Almighty God contemplate and plan for obedient, faithful humanity, they have not yet in reality entered it. That some must enter, read, brother.
That some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience.
May I? Very important. Sabbatera, I want you to get this. Sabbatera will tell you that the Sabbath was from
creation.
Well, if you're talking that God rested after he created the world. But watch this passage now. This passage, get me. It's a passage that sometime I'll withhold from members of the church, simply because I don't want members of the church mess it up. I held that passage that if ever I enter a debate with any Sabbatarian, be it on the moon, on TV, or wherever, this is a knockout passage. Because what Sabbatarian would like you to keep, that the Sabbath was kept by God's people from creation. That's what they would want you to believe. Here now the inspired writer is identifying Israel. That is those that Jesus didn't give rest. That is Joshua. As those to whom it was. It was. Can everybody read my beautiful handwriting? Listen as the brother read it again.
Remind me of the passage, Robert.
Okay, it is chapter 4.
And verse 6.
Verse 6, I think.
Since therefore it remains that some must enter it.
Mm-hmm.
And those to whom it was
first preached
did not enter.
Now, who are the ones to whom it was first preached? The text is going to show it is those that Joshua did not give rest. That's the Israelite. Here the Bible is showing us that the Israelite were the one to whom the Sabbath was
first preached.
Wait, this is important. When you discuss the Sabbath, the Seventh-day Adventists would like you to feel that Adam and Eve kept the Sabbath. Noah kept the Sabbath. Abraham kept the Sabbath. Lot kept the Sabbath. Isaac and Jacob kept the Sabbath. They would like you to feel, and they would twist God's word down to them to prove to you that because the Sabbath was from creation, all these people kept the Sabbath. Here, God's word is telling us it identified the people that Joshua did not give rest as the one to whom it was
first preached.
You can't get plainer than that, you know. I hope sometime in my lifetime, be it I have another day left or another 6 months or another 10 years, whatever God, I would like to really enter in a debate with the Sabbatarian and to work this passage and those to whom it was first preached. What was first preached? The Sabbath. Who is that God that it was first preached to? It is the people that Joshua did not give rest. That's the Israelite. They are the one to whom the Sabbath was first preached. As I've said, when I asked that this passage be read, that's not what I came here for, but I couldn't resist pointing this out to you as Christian to keep it in mind. As I've said, it's a passage that I don't bring up quite often because sometimes I want to just keep it for myself. Truly, that whenever these false doctrine people out there challenge us, like to a public debate, you hang this around your neck and don't leave it. They can run all over the Bible. You must always come back to it. That the people that Joshua did not give rest are the one to whom the Sabbath was first preached. It was not preached to Adam. It was not preached to Noah. It was not preached to Lot. It was not preached to Abraham. It was not preached to Isaac. It was not preached to Jacob. It was first preached to the Israelites. But that is also in keeping with the passage that's found in Ezra and Nehemiah. In the passage of Nehemiah, is it chapter 6 or chapter 4? That the Sabbath was made known where? At Mount Sinai. It's chapter 7, verse 13, somewhere there. Nehemiah.
Nehemiah 7. Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
The sons of Zatu, 845. The sons of...
Just a minute. That's not the passage. Thou makest known... Just a minute. It's in Nehemiah. I think it is chapter 9. Yes, but let us hear from verse 12.
Moreover, you let them by day with a cloudy pillar.
Now here, the inspired writer is tracing, not in all its detail, but to some extent, the redemption, the salvation that God brought to the Israelite. Thou didst, moreover, thou leddest them, read, brother.
Moreover, you led them by day with a cloudy pillar. And by night with a pillar of fire to give them light on the road which they should travel. You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven and gave them just ordinances and true laws. good statutes and commandments.
Notice now verse 14.
You made known to them.
What God did?
Made known.
Now, if something has been known before, you cannot say that you make it known to them. If the thing was known before, it cannot be said, you made known unto them thy holy Sabbath. And what the writer is saying, which is a fact, this is in keeping with the rest of the Bible, that it was after the children of Israel left Egypt that God made known unto them the Sabbath. The passage that was read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, is in keeping with that, and many more dozens of other passages, that the Sabbath was not made known to others. Here the passage says, thou madest known unto them thy
your holy Sabbath.
That is on Mount Sinai. So when people come and tell you the Sabbath was from creation, what do you mean the Sabbath was from creation? Well, God sees from his creative work at creation. If that's what you are talking, yes. But no man or woman for the next thousands of years knew anything about the Sabbath. Why? God had not made it known unto them. And you must remember this. It's very important that you remember. Thou madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath. And the passage read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6 pointed out that the Sabbath was first preached to the Israelites. The passage points out the people that Joshua did not give rest. Very important that we keep these things in mind. Okay? So, the Sabbath, not only these two passages, look also. And we are dealing now with three passages, because I'm about to give another one, well-known passage. All these passages, they are confirming that the seventh-day Sabbath kept by the Israelites was not given to anybody until it was given to the Israelites. May I just throw out something? The oldest book in the Bible is not the book of Genesis. It's the book of Job. That's right. The book of Job. And if you study that book, the word Sabbath has not been used in that book once. That's right. Because in the time of Job, God had not revealed. You see, at God's creation, after he created this beautiful, vast world, God rested. But watch here. Nobody was there when God did that work. So they don't know, they didn't know what God did. God did not reveal that to anybody until God chose to. That's right. In fact, on that point, listen to the Almighty God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, from verse 1.
And Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant.
Listen this now. Listen this. The Lord our God made a covenant with?
With us in Horeb.
With us, that's Mount Sinai. You see, confirming. The Lord made a covenant, that is an agreement with us in Horeb, that is Mount Sinai.
the Lord did not make this covenant.
The Almighty God, as if it were going out of his way to teach humanity, he was specifically speaking to the Israelites. But he wanted them as well as us to know that the covenant, watch here now, meaning the agreement God is about to make with Israel that contained the Sabbath, was not made with their fathers or forefathers. When the Bible talks about your father, Isaac, it encompasses Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They didn't know, and their generation didn't know about the Sabbath. Read it, brother.
The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers.
With our fathers, and that always includes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
But with us.
But with us.
Those who are here today.
Those who are here today. That's the covenant that contained the Sabbath. Nobody before them knew about it. Now look at verse 15. Now verse 15 going to identify, watch here. You are told, there are some things you must remember. You are told that the Israelites were told to keep the Sabbath because God rested. That's false. While the seventh day was chosen because God rested. God is about to make an agreement with the Israelites, and he chose the seventh day, considering to he rested on that day. But the reason they are told to keep it is what the brother is about to read now. And that is from God's mouth. You'd say from the horse's mouth. Let us hear.
And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore.
Wait. This word, therefore, is key. Key in the past. Grammarian refer to it as a conjunctive adverb. And what the passage is saying, it's because of this. Therefore, what?
God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
This is the reason I am commanding you to keep the Sabbath. Because of the salvation I brought you from Egypt. The way I led you from slavery and wickedness in Egypt. It is for that reason I am commanding you to keep the Sabbath. It's not because I rested. Because God rested thousands of years before that. Creation was finished thousands of years before that. And among the greatest character in God's scheme of things, Abraham. Abraham lived, served God, became a friend of God, but was never told about the seventh-day Sabbath. So God here now, the brother just read from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 and verse 15, but especially verse 15. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt and that I, the Almighty God, by a mighty and outstretched arm, emancipated you. Therefore, wait, what does that therefore mean, God? It is because of what I have done to you in reference to your slavery in Egypt that I'm commanding you to keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a day of rest and reflection. That's right. Not reflection on that God rested, No. That's not what they should remember. The Almighty God has just told them what they should remember when that rest day came. And you can see the logic of that. God wanted them to remember what he had done for them. The salvation he brought them against the power of Egypt. It's like the Lord's Supper. We are to remember what Christ, how Christ redeemed us. How his life spilled from his body by his blood. Jesus Christ, in fact, died a cruel, barbaric death. That's the price that the justice and the holiness of God demanded for our sin. We can remember thousands of things. But the Lord's Supper was never meant to remind us that Jesus Christ died for 3 years and he performed miracles. All those are important things to remember, but it was never meant to remind us of that. It was meant to remind us of the way our redemption was brought about. Well, for Israel, keeping the Sabbath was meant to remind them of how they were slaves, that the powerful power that the Pharaoh exercised, and yet God was able to emancipate them. So this therefore, meaning this is the reason I command you to keep the Sabbath. It has direct reference to you being slave in Egypt, and I, the Almighty God, emancipated you. Please don't forget that. So as I've said, in chapter 4, verse, not just these verses, because I think in chapter 3, we may have some of that same idea that God, having rested from his creative work, God is still resting and is inviting obedient, faithful humanity to share in this rest. Let me hear verse 1 of chapter 4.
Deuteronomy?
No. We are back in the New Testament. Hebrews. Verse 1 of chapter 4.
Therefore,
mm-hmm.
since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
It sounds like the answer, fear less. Yes, you know, one word, fearless. The person is fearless. The person doesn't have any fear. You see, you know, let us fear less a promise. Read it again, brother.
Let us fear
uh-huh.
lest any of you seem to have come short of it.
Uh-huh. Read on.
For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well
mm-hmm.
as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them.
First, rest in this passage. Wait. You know, I've thrown out 3 passages dealing with the Sabbath. The passage of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, of Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 11 following, of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and verse 50. the point for which these passages were brought in, among other things, of course, I've shown that the Sabbath, from God's own testimony through servant, we know the people to whom it was first preached. And all three passages pointed this out. In the passage of Nehemiah chapter 9, it was made known at Mount Sinai. In the passage of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, it was first preached to that people that Joshua, the King James sometimes said Jesus, Jesus Joshua, saying one Greek, one Hebrew, that Joshua did not give rest, and pointing out that the Israelites are the one to whom it was first preached. Then the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15, there we learn the purpose or the reason God commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath. And this, therefore, is key, because the therefore means because of, on this reason, or on this basis, you are told to keep the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath was primarily not a day of worship, even though worship took place. The high priest had to do some sacrifice on that day, the priest. But for the Israelite, it was primarily a day of rest. In fact, the word sabbatos, the original word, means cease from work. That's right. It was not primarily a day of worship. It was wait, I'm not saying some form of worship did not take place by the priests. But largely, it was meant by God to be a day of rest and reflection. Reflecting on how the Israelite emancipation came about. Is Sunday the Christian Sabbath? In the first place, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 that was just read. Rest in this verse is used to cover a wide area. It is not merely speaking of Canaan rest. Rest here, as used in this verse, is referring to the spiritual and the eternal rest that God promised to Christ. In fact, this passage is referring to the same rest that is spoken about in the book of Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the type of rest contemplated by Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Notice again, in the same verse, a promise being left. Let me hear it again, the same verse 1.
Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest.
That, the passage here, that phrase, literally is telling us that there is a promise left open to us, but we may not enter it if we suffer the same type of unbelief and disobedience like the Israelite. Look at Psalms 95, 7 through 11.
Psalms 95, verse 7.
Yes.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways.
What this is referring to, you know, is the Israelites' experience at Kadesh Barnea, where, may I just point out this? Be mindful, the Almighty God intended that within days, literally days after the Israelites left Egypt, they would reach the promised land. It's something we need to think about. I repeat, remember, it takes them 40 years. God's plan for them was for days. It was their faithlessness and sin and disobedience that caused them to be going around encircling the wilderness. And that's what is under consideration here from the mouth of David in Psalms 95. The brother read from verse 7. Read, brother Vivian. Read from, start from verse 8 this time.
Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath.
God swear in his vexation.
They shall not enter my rest.
May I? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 through 11 is talking about this. When God at Kadesh Barnea swore that they will not enter God's rest because of their faithlessness. Now, read on a little. Okay, turn to Hebrews, brother. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Let us hear from verse 6.
Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of unbelief.
Another thing that you would notice here, that very important too, I didn't even say this in my first coming, is that while the Israelites enter the promised land, are we all there? While the Israelites had the seven-day Sabbath, here the Bible is telling us that still the rest that God had in mind for them, they didn't get it.
That's right.
They kept the Sabbath. They entered the promised land, but they still did not enter the rest that God has in mind.
That's right.
Very important. And that's what a lot of the places in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 that speaks about rest. It's not even contemplating the Sabbath, the seven-day Sabbath rest. It's talk about God's everlasting rest. Read on, brother.
Verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day.
May I? I wonder if you see what this passage is saying. When David spoke, this was 500 years after Israel entered the promised land. And the inspired writer, our God, through the inspired writer of the book of Psalms, is reasoning with the Israelite, even the scholars of Israel, showing them that even though you all kept the Sabbath and you enter the promised land, the rest that I really have for you, you know, ain't tight yet.
That's right.
You have not experienced it yet. So in case anybody made a mistake in thinking that the promised land is that rest, perfect rest that God promised, when David said what he said there, read it again, brother.
Verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterwards have spoken of another day.
Wait. The afterward another day is the rest that David is referring to. That God has a rest for his people. And if they manifest faith and commitment, they will enter that rest. But if they continue in their faithlessness, they will never experience it. And what the Bible is doing, God is reasoning with them that if they had experienced that which God promised, the Almighty God would not 500 years after still speaking to David of the rest which he wants to give them. Read on, brother.
Verse 9.
There
remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God.
Wait. We are coming down to the end, but we don't want to. Let me capitalize. There remaineth. Don't let Sabbatarian tie this around your neck and hang you. I was surprised how men like Ramakan use Colossians chapter 2, a passage that even an intoxicated man or woman can see that passage in Colossians is telling us that the Sabbath is nailed to the cross. Even when a person is drunk, stone drunk, the passage is so plain. Yet I notice Rama can twist that passage. Well, it's just the same way. When the Bible says there remaineth a rest for
people of God.
For the people of God. Sabbatarian said, there it is. This means the Sabbath is still here. It said, there remaineth a rest. The passage is talking nothing like that. What the word remaineth, that a rest is still outstanding. That's exactly. That is the rest that God wants to give his people. It has not yet been realized. It's still there for us, waiting for us. Sabbatarian would like you to they misinterpret, butcher this passage to make it say, the Sabbath is still here, they remain it. No, remain here means outstanding. Because the brother going to read one or two more verses to let us realize that within the very passage, it could never mean that we are to keep Sabbath. Read on. You have just read verse 9.
For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest.
I like how you read that with Vivian. You see? You get the right. Let us therefore work so that we may
enter into that rest.
Rest. It's not let us therefore cease from work. Sabbath. That we may cease from work. You see, that's what the word Sabbath means, you know, cease from work. The passage is not saying, let us keep Sabbath, that we may keep Sabbath. The passage is saying, let us labor, let us work. The Sabbath for us is not yet here. We are going to get it one day, but now. Now, this life is a time of labor, time of work. Our Sabbath has not yet come. Read it again, Vivian.
Let us labor, therefore.
Everybody gets that? You see, for that reason, verse 9 could not be saying that we must still keep Sabbath. Remain it means the Sabbath remains, so we must keep it. It could not be saying that. Because down to the verse the brother is now reading would completely contradict that. The verse the brother is reading is showing that we live in the time of work, labor, so that we may do what?
Enter into that rest, lest any man fall according to the same example of unbelief.
That's right. That's verse 11.
Yes.
Now, you may stop there. So the bottom line as I close. Christianity does not teach, does not promise, does not have a Sabbath in this life. Christianity, the Christianity of Jesus Christ, does not promise a Sabbath while we live this Christian life. It does not impose a Sabbath while we live this life. It does not teach a Sabbath while we live this life. It teaches work, labor. We are co-worker, are co-labor with God. It's a time of work, not a time of rest. Our Sabbath will come. But now is the time of work. So the church, Christianity, the gospel does not teach a Sabbath during this life. The Sabbath is to come. If there are more to be said or questions to be asked, feel free another time to ask. There are much more that could be said on the subject. But I think I said enough to at least make you want to study more. the passage of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 are key passages. But always make sure you are not confused. Lot of where that part or those chapters speak about Sabbath, it's not talking about the seven-day Sabbath. It's talking about the eternal Sabbath that God promises people. The one that the Bible says we must labor that we may get that one. That one is not here yet. And the seven-day Sabbath was never meant for us. It was meant for the people that were led from slavery in Egypt. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2 and verse 15 makes that very plain. Thank you.